Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports. The Final Frontier. These are the voices of the sinner and the saint.
Football! Yeah!
Their weekly mission? To provide hot takes, medium takes, mild takes, to boldly go where no show has gone before. Luke Anderson.
Why is he laughing? Why is it funny?
Will Darkins.
That's the tackler.
Presented by Buster's Barbecue. For real deal barbecue, check out bustersbarbecue.com. The Sinner and the Saint Tailgate Show on 1080 The Fan, the radio.com app, and 1080thefan.com.
Can I just say, I love you guys' intros.
Thanks, man.
You know, did you make those?
Yeah, Luke and I did it together.
Man, more credit to you than to Luke, because I know he didn't press any buttons to do anything.
No, he doesn't do any of that.
Luke is not a big button pressure. Yes, he absolutely will take credit, so I will give him 25% of the credit, and the other 75 will go indeed.
That
to
math
you.
Checks out.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty. I was a C student in math.
Nice.
So I got basic math all good. I try to help my sister, who's a seventh grader now, with her math, and I'll be honest, not good at it. I might need some refresher
courses. Mean your sister?
No, I'm not good at it. She's great at it, and I'm sitting there counting on my fingers like an old person, like one time, wait, carry the four, and she's like, where are you counting on your fingers for?
Yeah, see, that's what concerns me about having a kid is that they're going to present some homework to me that I'll have zero idea how to help them. And it won't even be like a, hey, let's read this together and try to figure it out. It'll be me going, I am useless to you at this point.
No, I'm great at, obviously, we're in radio, so, or we're on in entertainment. I'm pretty good at English. I was pretty good, like, you know, writing all that stuff. That stuff was always pretty easy to me, but for whatever reason, math was completely terrible. But I was a good writer, pretty good speller. Somebody who's not the best writer, not the best speller, but looks like they went back to school for it, is Antonio Brown. And here's a guy. Now, we don't have to go through the entire timeline. We know the Antonio Brown saga has been must-see TV for the most part. And it seems like every week there was a new story or there was a new development to the story. And now Antonio Brown is saying he wants to put some of the drama behind him, or all the drama, and he just wants to play football. Didn't say he wants to play NFL football, but he did say he wants to return. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'll be honest. Like, at this point, I've never seen a dude burn bridges with three teams in like the span of like 4 weeks. I've never seen that happen before.
Well, I haven't either. And, you know, Sinner and Saints brought to you by Royal Exteriors, triple pane windows for up to 60% less than double pane windows. RoyalExteriorsLLC.com. I have never seen this situation happen before. And even when Antonio Brown was kind of in that weird flux position of not quite sure if the Patriots want to get rid of them or not, and, you know, he was going back. Now there are these accusations of domestic assault. Even Adam Schefter, I remember when he went on Dari and Mel on that Saturday morning where they said that the Patriots had released Antonio Brown, he was at a loss for words. He didn't know what to say because, really, this has never happened before. And if you're Antonio Brown, this is happening at a pretty advantageous moment for you because there are so many other avenues in terms of football that you could play in the interim before somebody says that you're safe now to play in the league. You can go to Canada and play if you want, which he probably won't. You could go play in this new stupid XFL thing for a couple months, which, again, he probably won't because they won't be able to pay him. So you're trapped. You've already dug your grave. People know who you are, and they know the weight. They know the talent you have doesn't equal out to the burden you'll bring in a locker room. and for ownership. And so it's satisfying on one part because you like to see people like this kind of fall who are complete jerks, who have just worked the system to the point where you just want them to go. But then you also kind of feel bad about it because you say, this guy's such an incredible talent and we're not going to be able to see him on the field.
Yeah, and I think the reason why I don't feel as bad is because he's such an exceptional talent.
Yeah.
Because he's so good. And I think a lot of times, and Will, you've played football, you played on a high level in college, and I think that's important to really say. Like, you didn't play like some of us in Western Oregon and all of that. Like, this, that's a great school, and it's a, you know, great level of talent, but there's something to be said about D1 guys and stuff like that. So, man, you play with a lot of athletes, and you know that sometimes athletes, be it basketball, football, baseball, they can be really entitled.
Yeah.
Because if you're really good, a lot of times since high school, since middle school, you've been, you can slide. You know, we'll let you slide because you're 6'9" and you're the star of our basketball team. We'll let you slide because you run a 4.1 40 and you can catch everything that's thrown to you. Like, we'll allow you to be the jerk to everybody just because you can play. But now, I think people are, they're hip to it, and now I don't really think anybody wants to work with Antonio Brown. There's too many stories at this point. Everything with the Steelers, now mind you, I don't think everything with the Steelers is his fault. I think a lot of it, some of it was his, but then again, you have Ben Roethlisberger, who was throwing his team under the bus every opportunity he got, never took any type of accountability for his role in anything. You had Tomlin that allowed all these things to happen forever. You had the Le'Veon Bell situation that went on. Then you had the situation with Antonio Brown. Like, all that's not his fault. Oakland, I don't think he intentionally did that to his feet. Like, I don't think anybody would. Who would purposely give himself frostbite? I wouldn't.
Well, it's not intentional. It's just stupid.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I don't think anybody would, especially if you know you work with your hands. So you would intentionally do something or put yourself in a position where you could, you know, hurt yourself or potentially hurt yourself. Like, I don't think he did that on purpose. Again, I think he's just an idiot. Like, at the end of the day, like, he just doesn't strike me as the smartest guy. And Jesse, you know, our producer from Football Sunday, says it all the time. He thinks that Vontaze Burfict hit changed him. That hit that he took when Steelers were playing the Bengals in the playoffs, and he kind of took that shoulder pad to the side. I think that kind of changed AB a little bit because he wasn't as strange before that hit.
Dude, I thought the same thing too. And he really wasn't this big of a problem at Western Michigan. And if he was, they were hiding it incredibly well. And even in his first couple of years with the Steelers, he wasn't. I mean, I heard that he was pretty eccentric and that he would do kind of weird stuff. But at the same time, he was able to keep it, relatively under wraps. You know, the weirdest thing I could think that he really did was just actually start a trend of coming into training camp in a really elaborate way, right? Like, the first year, it was like he came in this insanely stunted out Rolls Royce that was all Steelered. And, you know, then it finally ended with him coming in a hot air balloon.
Yeah, that was pretty tight. That's a pretty dope way to cut to pull up to anything the first time. Just imagine you come to prom or you come to something and you pull up in a hot air balloon. Like, that's, I'm stunting on everybody if you do that. But just the recording the phone call between he and Gruden. And by all accounts, Gruden seemed like he was on Antonio Brown's side most of the time. If we watch Hard Knocks, and mind you, they put what they want to put on Hard Knocks.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't know exactly what the entire story was, but on the surface, it looked like Gruden was excited to have him there. I've got a brand new toy to play with, and he can do everything that I need him to do.
Is there any team that's going to accept him now? I mean, that's...
Yes.
You really think?
Joe Mixon plays for the Bengals. Currently, I believe Tariq Hill still plays for... the Chiefs. They will listen. He didn't kneel on the flag. He didn't kneel during the national anthem. So you know what? He's got an opportunity to play, and that's just the sad truth of it. Like, you can be domestic violence. You can do you can beat your kids. You can do whatever you do. We forget. Adrian Peterson whooped his 4-year-old son with a switch, and he was in the league the next year. You know what I mean? So it's not a. We still haven't seen Ray Rice, but. I mean, I'm sure he's going to do something.
Yeah,
and somebody had to be the guinea pig, and Ray Rice is just the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, and I think Ray Rice was also kind of the confluence of bad timing. And again, I want to use that word lightly, bad timing, because really he should have been what he had coming was well deserved.
Absolutely.
It's just that he was at a point in his career where really nobody was going to sign him. the scandal and the reward you would get just didn't measure up enough for any team. And you thought this would kind of happen with Kareem Hunt when the video came out, right, mm-hmm. of him hitting the woman in the hotel room. And it was kind of the same thing as Ray Rice, right? You finally catch it on video and all of America sees it. Okay, you're out of here. Well, no, Kareem Hunt's actually in his prime and probably still has a couple of years left in his prime. And I'm pretty sure we're in either week 5 or 6. Kareem Hunt's about to get back onto the field again for the Browns.
Absolutely.
So,
I believe it's week 12 yeah. or week something like that, week 8, something
yeah.
stupid like
somewhere
that.
Around there. So, I mean, yeah, to me, it's stunning that somebody would hire him again just because of the fact that it looks like everywhere he goes, it just explodes. And the Patriots were the only team to see it coming and just went, nope, see ya.
No, yeah. Can't and, have know, it. The Pats, there's something to be said about the Patriots. And I know we have to break here, but they didn't wait long. They said, you know what? This is too much to deal with. We got to let you. The best receiver in football, yeah, bro, we got to cut you. I'm sorry. We can't keep you on our roster for now. So Antonio Brown still looking for a job. He said he doesn't need the NFL. Apparently he does. So I guess joke's on him. Coming up next, man, Trailblazers preseason. That's all we have for now, so we'll see what's going on with that. That's coming up next right here on The Fan.
Also presented by Royal Exteriors. Triple pane windows for up to 60% less than double pane. Royal Exteriors, LLC.com.
I don't know any of the words to the song. This might be, this quite possibly might be the worst song ever.
What?
And Farmer is a terrible song. I think that this came out when I want to say I was in fourth grade or something like that. Snow? Is that who this is?
You, sir, do not have good taste in music.
Oh, no.
Then.
I have impeccable taste in music, which is why this song sucks. But it does. It instantly gets me moving because there's something tight about the beat, you know? So shout out to Snow wherever he may be somewhere.
Shout
doing,
out to Snow working in that drive-thru.
Yeah, somewhere, you know, working on his next mixtape. You know, it's coming at some point. But speaking of mixtapes, man, how do you feel about Dame's 2 diss records towards Shaq? So who's winning? Okay, let's start there. Who's winning this rap battle between Damian Lillard and Shaquille O'Neal? Who
oh,
do you
Dame.
Think is winning?
Dude, Dame. Dame's winning it. Dame has the best. You know, Shaq... I remember when Shaq actually had a music career, which is ridiculous to even say, back in the late 90s when he like was trying to tack on to the whole Michael Jordan theory, which is basically like, look, promote yourself constantly, no matter what, with anything.
Yeah.
Like if you're a recognizable brand, just milk the S out of it. And so, you know, that's where Shaq comes from when he does these kind of things. It's all out of promotion.
Listen,
Damian Lillard is a real artist. Like, he's actually a really good rapper.
Man, Shaq Diesel coming with no warning. Not Christian Laettner in this line of the morning. What do you mean? Shaquille O'Neal was great, bro. Shaquille, listen, Shaq, in my opinion, is the greatest superstar the NBA has ever had.
Interesting.
I'm not saying that he's the best player. However, as a player, like, it's really hard to argue to say that Shaq isn't a top 5-6 player all time. Like,
okay.
It's really hard.
I'm gonna go ahead and disagree a little bit all time, though I will agree with you if we constrict the time frame. Now, I want to ask people, 55305, better you today, text line. Who is the greatest NBA superstar from the year 2000 till today? You got a lot of choices.
The biggest superstar, it depends on what we're talking about.
So that means you're an incredible player, obviously, but at the same time, you captivate the media and you're somebody that is multifaceted. You're across all platforms.
It's LeBron James.
You still think LeBron over Shaq?
It's not even over the past. So Shaq to me all time, just because Shaq had a rap album that had Biggie on it. Like Notorious B.I.G. had a song with Shaquille O'Neal, you know. So he was really in the game. Shaq had a video game. Shaq had some of the coolest shoes because those first Reeboks that he had, the Kamikazes, were super fresh.
What about the Hypnos? You remember those?
I do remember the Hypnos. Yeah, okay. those were those with the circles. Yeah, in them. Yeah, the Kamikazes. So then, Shaq also. What else did he do, man? He was all the break dancer. And on top of that, he was a center who was running point guard at a lot of times, running the ball up the court and dunking on everybody's face. Shaq was, when I was in fourth, fifth grade, he was every kid's favorite player.
Mm.
Every single kid had Shaq posters on their wall. Like he was everywhere. And then he grew into the Diesel. But even still, from there, he became the big Shactus and the big Aristotle and the big quote and all these little things that he would do. Like,
he's the big Shactus.
Shaq is great. But LeBron James is not just the basketball figure, but he's arguably the most captivating sports figure that we have right now.
Like, yeah, and I've heard that too, that for our generation, even though, you know, I define that loosely if you'd like, the whole my generation, but I guess LeBron James was our Michael Jordan, if you want to say it that way. But, you know, I think what separates LeBron James kind of media career, him as a media mogul or him as just kind of a superstar from Shaquille O'Neal is it seems like Shaquille O'Neal is having fun.
Yes.
Like Shaquille O'Neal, everything he does, even if it's the stupid general commercials, you know that dude's having fun on set. And you know there's a little like nudge, nudge, wink, wink to everything. LeBron James is so manicured in everything that he does that it's about his image. Now, I'm not talking about some of the amazing things he does, like, you know, opening a school that has free tuition for kids and that gives free lunches and free rides to school. That kind of stuff is mind-blowing. But it's the kind of thing that where he, like, I don't know, he'll get involved in certain projects like The Running Man. You remember that show he did, that stupid reality show on ABC?
Kind of, not
really. He was executive producer. He was just stupid and hokey.
They all do. Steph Curry did like a silly mini golf little thing and everything like that.
Dumb.
But no, but the one thing he has done is, he's participated in some movies. He was pretty funny in his little role in Trainwreck that he had.
Amy Schumer. Was funny in Trainwreck.
His show on, I think he executive produced Survivor's Remorse, you know, at that point, you know, that was a pretty good
Barber
Showtime
Shop
show.
Too,
the Shop Show is pretty good. It's a little, Maverick Carter is a little irritating to me, but the show overall is a great way for athletes and entertainers to come on and really tell their stories. So I think the one thing LeBron has done, and I don't get too much on LeBron, is the fact that he's made it okay for players to speak up and for players just not to accept everything. And I think we've seen a much more open NBA as far as guys that are willing to talk or willing to speak up on certain issues, be it the Michael Brown situation or be it now. He's been incredibly quiet about this whole China thing. You notice that? LeBron hasn't said anything about that.
I think he has some interest.
Well, exactly, because it's about money. And you know what? I'm not going to say nothing that's going to mess up my money. So let me be quiet right now.
And here's the interesting part, if we can roll this all back around to Damian Lillard, which is that Damian Lillard is doing this kind of stuff, doing rap battles, releasing albums. He's going to be in Space Jam. He makes himself available for major market commercial media campaigns with State Farm. I mean, you know, the list goes on. He's doing this in Portland, Oregon, man.
Dame, in my opinion, I think Dame is a top five superstar in this league right now. And the reason is,
it's arguable.
Again, when you start going on, when you escape just the basketball realm and then you're relevant in like pop culture, that's the issue. Like Dame, we forget, he started Four Bar Friday. Like three, four years ago, you know, he just started, man, I'm going to spit four bars on Twitter. And that became a viral thing, not just across the NBA, but lots of people were doing Four Bar Fridays. That was something that was Damian Lillard, you know, coming to the Blazer game on Halloween with the Stone Cold Steve Austin mask on with the Austin belt and everything like that. And that was all over WWE's website and everything else. Like he's one of those guys that he's starting to really transcend just the game. And now with the rap album, like again, Dame is not just the best NBA rapper. He's better than a lot of dudes that are out right now. So he's becoming one of those guys that's, he's a recognizable figure. Like,
do you think that he could do this same thing in a bigger market?
And he would absolutely kill it. Just let's say if Dame Lillard played for New York or if he played for Chicago,
Lakers, whatever.
Do you know how many more times he'd be featured on somebody's record or whatever the case is because he's in one of these places? Like we would hear Dame all the time. Hot 97 or 107.5 in New York is the biggest hip hop station in the entire world, basically. If Damian Lillard is in that city and he's the star of that team, please. You know how New York sweats itself anyway, and then you give them a star like Damian Lillard? Absolutely.
I would like to think that maybe he wouldn't be as big just because I think that a lot of the stuff that he gets behind has kind of a community roots feel to it. And I think that when you get into those major markets, you're talking about like New York, Chicago, or LA, it becomes more about show business and more about how can you entertain me right now. I think why he fits so well in Portland, Oregon is because you have a bunch of socially conscious people and socially conscious fans that like to take up causes and like to know that, you know, they're supporting something that has a cause behind it. That's why, you know, friggin' Rose Garden turned into the Moda Center, which is a a health insurance company.
Yeah, people don't like that, though.
I mean, people don't like it, but it fits the city really well. You know, it's not the Staples Center. It's not the Pepsi Center. It's not anything else. It's a local company.
No, yeah, that's very true. And, you know, there's always a very... It's a very local hometown feel, you know, about Portland. Not so much in LA, not so much in New York, you know, but still, I think the opportunities for, especially for Dame to be, because he wants to be, you know, a part of the machine, you know, so he wants to really make it as a rapper. Not because he's Damian Lillard, but because he's a talented rapper. And I believe that if he were somewhere like New York or LA, his music career would have, you know, really progressed a lot more that it actually has here in Portland. Like, he's made it here in Portland because he himself is a talented rapper and a great basketball player, you know? So, but if he were somewhere else, then man, I think he would have a real shot at making it do something.
I want to talk about coming up next year, the fact that there were so many effing scouts at last night's Duck game.
There were, at least they said like maybe 7 or 8 general managers, you know, just in the building, and they were all there to see one guy.
So 55305, better you today text line on the other side. What is Justin Herbert's nightmare scenario? Meaning he goes somewhere and he turns into Josh Rosen. Oof. Not talent wise, just situation.
Just Josh Rosen. Yeah. I get it. Okay. Well, yeah, let's talk about that when we come back right here on Center and the Saint. On the Fan.
Also brought to you by Royal Exteriors. Triple pane windows for up to 60% less than double pane. Royal Exteriors LLC.com.
So the great Will Darkins posed an awesome question just before we went to our last break. And, you know, there were lots of general managers and lots of scouts at last night's Oregon-Colorado game. And I think there was a lot of people to see. They wanted to make sure they saw Brown, first name. Not Bobby. Chris Brown. No. What's the receiver from?
Tony.
Tony Brown. Dang it. I told you I always do that. Tony Brown. Clearly, a lot of people there to see Justin Herbert. That's really the one person that scouts are looking at, because you have a lot of crappy teams right now that are in the market for a great NFL quarterback. But last night was a great opportunity for certain guys to shine. You know, you saw... Breland, obviously, the senior, was able to shine up until the injury. So you saw that the Ducks were able to make great plays with him. So whenever you have that many scouts, you know, even though they're there to see someone else, having a good game can go really far into making sure you put yourself on the radar. Maybe not get drafted that year, but maybe they saw something out of the sophomore that they can't draft yet. And so, yeah, let's come back to Austin to go see that kid.
Well, and I think... most of all, you know, everybody, at least Duck fans, and I know probably some NFL fans of teams that need a quarterback right now, are pretty relieved to see that Justin Herbert is everything as advertised. Again, just take the drops out of it, because it was absolutely ridiculous how many times Herbert was putting the ball on a tight wire exactly where the receiver's hands were. You know that even on the crappiest of teams, NFL wide receivers, professionals are going to catch that every single time. I think what really kind of worried you, though, for Justin Herbert's safety and the future of his career is there's a couple teams he could go to next year that look like black holes.
Yeah. One of those black holes are the 0-4 Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
That's one of those teams that if you are a rookie and they call your name with the first overall pick, the Miami Dolphins select Justin Herbert, you probably go, damn it.
Yeah. Ugh. He's going to get a great tan, but
that's it.
He's going to get the crap beat out of
him. He's going to have that long, pretty hair. He's going to fit into Miami perfectly as far as just being a resident. But as far as being the quarterback of a winning team, Miami's going to be in the basement for a while. You know, just considering they're a dumpster fire right now, and it's really like a yard sale for Miami. They're just giving away, you know, they're best players. And so,
well, they're giving away losses too. They don't care.
No, they don't care. They don't care. And if I'm a young player and all I've known my entire life in football is to win, go out there and compete and try your hardest and try to win the game. I'm not going to win every game probably, but the one thing I've never been told to do is to lose. to go out there and to tank, huh? Not play as hard or tell me I'm not going to play today against it? What? So that's really hard for young players to get, and they still want to, you want to compete through that. But I think Miami is just not a great situation. They don't have a great head coach, in my opinion.
Yeah, Brian Flores, and this is something I was going to mention too, is the idea that you have Brian Flores coming from New England where, you know, if you see the track history, it's not great. The Belichick coaching tree isn't awesome when people decide to branch out. Now, you know, Matt Patricia has yet to prove that because there is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to Detroit. But for the most part, even when you saw Josh McDaniels go to Denver, it was a dumpster fire and he came back because he knew where the winning was.
And a lot of times when it comes to the Belichick coaching tree, most of the guys that get hired are the defensive coordinators.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, I think the only guy I can think of off the top of my head is Charlie Weiss, you know, Weiss, offensive coordinator.
And went McDaniels left but came back.
McDaniels left, didn't have a great, you know, outing at Denver, but he was the youngest coach in the league and had no idea how to be a head coach. He's back in New England because he knows that he's going to get the keys to the car the minute that Belichick's almost 70. He's going to be retiring pretty soon here. And so he knows he gets that. But if you're Justin Herbert, like, I don't know. I think I'm pulling the Elway. I think I'm pulling the Eli, and I'm saying I'm not going there. I'm sorry. Like, at this point, you can call your shot. And if that team really, really wants you, then they're going to make sure they put some things into place to make a develop a trade or something. But I'm sorry. I'm not going to Miami. I'm sorry. I don't want to go there. I don't want to play for the Jets.
Well, and there's, of course, another team who on the Better You Today text line 55305, Sam the Mailman brought up, which is, you know, the Redskins, where, you know, you're not so much dealing with an awful situation all around, which is the Miami Dolphins. But with the Redskins, it's you're dealing with Dan Snyder. And any other position, if this would have been running back or lineman or, you know, linebacker, whatever, it doesn't really matter. As a quarterback, you have a relationship with everybody when you get to the NFL, and you have a relationship with everybody even when you're in college. And so if the relationship that you're going to start to have with your owner, Dan Snyder, is one that's turbulent, because Justin Herbert seems like a reasonable guy who is intelligent, who's an emotionally capable person, who knows how to talk to people and work with people, that's the complete opposite of Daniel Snyder. He is a nut job in terms of making decisions and doesn't seem to care if the team falls deeper and deeper into that DC swamp. So again, it's kind of pick your poison, right? Like, do you really want to go to the Dolphins? Do you really want to go to the Redskins? Do you really want to go to the Denver Broncos, who are 1-4 right now? And John Elway seems to be a crappy quarterback whisperer. It's a little scary.
Snyder is, in my opinion, one of the worst owners in sports by far. You know, that's number one. He hasn't won a championship as an owner. His free agent acquisitions have been pretty trash over the past, 10 years or so. You know, he's 2 playoff wins since 2005. Like, there's nothing about Daniel Snyder that says he's a great coach. And then, mind you, I don't call Washington by their actual, you know, team name. I call them Washington just because based on the name and how offensive it is, like, it's silly that that's even a conversation about why it should be changed or that you could be so oblivious as to why people would feel that way. So I wouldn't want to play there. And there's certain, like, you drafted RG3, right? And you also drafted Kirk Cousins in the same draft. The same, like, and I think wasn't Kirk Cousins like a third round pick? So you went and got the Heisman winner, and then you went and got another guy in this, what? Like, and neither one of them worked out for you at the end of the day. At least Kirk got you to a playoff game, but I think RG3 did too. Didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are the biggest, what's my guy's name? The tight end that they have now, Old Man River, Vernon Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Name somebody else they've signed that's like, oh, that's going to really help the Washington move forward this year. Nobody. So I wouldn't want to go there.
Now there is a team that you can see that there's an interesting theory that's been floated out this entire week that I absolutely love and I think can work. And a lot of people kind of scoff at it because of salary cap issues, but I think that's just a thing of the past in the NFL. Like you said earlier in this segment, if you want somebody, you're going to move mountains to get them. The Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons right now sit at 1-4 in a division that honestly is way too competitive for them, because the Carolina Panthers seem like they're going to be okay with their new QB Allen. Once Drew Brees comes back, they're going to blow the doors off that thing. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers actually seem like a competent team.
What do you know?
You could have an Atlanta Falcons team that doesn't fall all the way to the bottom, but could find themselves in, say, the, I don't know, third, fourth pick. And if you could get to the Miami Dolphins, you could get to the Redskins, and you could say to them, look, we're sitting at three right now. Trade spots with us. Trade spots with us, and we'll give you Matt Ryan. We'll give you the third pick. We'll give you Matt Ryan, and we'll give you cash, and you can start again with him, because the Dolphins are stupid enough to take that, and so are the Redskins. And put Justin Herbert in a position where you're going to get Julio Jones in the twilight of his career, and you know, you're going to get a defense that's pretty capable and an offense that is already pretty good. That's the one bright light that I can see here. But I really do get concerned about the fact that Justin Herbert might find his way onto an NFL team that just isn't going to know how to use him.
I think that's an awesome trade scenario. I think another one that's similar to that would be the Denver Broncos. I don't know what
Elway,
people would really
man.
Want. Elway's silly, and Elway, he hasn't shown that he's been able to groom a young quarterback to be the guy. You know, he was lucky enough to get Peyton Manning in, and then after that, went and got the other guy, Flacco, and we'll see.
Yeah,
what
well,
Flacco
and he had Osweiler that he tried to.
Brock Osweiler was not a good quarterback, so you know, a lot of whiffs there if you're Elway. So this is an opportunity. You can say, man, hey, we know at this point that they're looking to shop somebody like Von Miller. It's like, hey, man, we can give you our best defensive player, some cash and some other things. So the Broncos are going to be, they're going to be down there as well as far as, as far as the draft.
And it's kind of funny too, because doesn't this totally fit the stereotype of what John Elway does, which is just draft huge white guy quarterbacks?
That's I mean, because why? He's a huge white guy quarterback. Like he knows that it can work. And if it works, I guess he feels like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, it's been kind of broken. Osweiler was 6'8" and couldn't throw the ball from me to you. You know, it was just kind of, he was dumpy and just not a very good quarterback. And then there was, Burmis. What's the other guy's name? Came in just after Osweiler left. He was equally as terrible and
was
incredibly forgettable. Yeah, incredibly forgettable.
Trevor Siemian.
Yeah. There you go. This is what the Broncos' reality has been. So getting a guy, you know, like a Justin Herbert in there can completely turn around the way that franchise. Mind you, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, the Broncos were in the Super Bowl, you know, and 3 years ago, the Falcons were in the Super Bowl. And so both of these teams are now pretty much, you know, bottom feeders of the NFL. And so if you're Justin Herbert, I hope you hire a great agent that's able to work some things out, because, again, I think I'm calling my shot. If the team is really that bad, I'm not going to Miami.
Well, and some people on the Better You Today text line 55305 having good opinions and also helping us out. Paxton Lynch was that last quarterback.
Paxton Lynch, yes.
Except for the other guy from Missouri. And then also somebody saying that Julio Jones is not in the twilight of his career. Once Herbert does get drafted, give it another year and he'll start to digress. That's just the natural way of receivers. And then somebody else asking a legitimate question. Do you think Justin Herbert's going to absolutely go number one? And it's a fair point, because you also have Tua Tagovailoa, who I think a lot of NFL teams have totally gotten over the whole notion you have to be tall to be an effective quarterback in the league. That guy's one of the most accurate throwers that you're going to have. And so, I think that after this game last night, that you had so many GMs and so many scouts in the audience, and you saw a dude who, by the way, if it wasn't for an offensive pass interference penalty, that throw he made on the run that landed exactly in the receiver's hands on the sidelines. Dude, I would have left the building if I was a scout at that point. I go,
I've seen enough.
Good.
I've seen enough. Yep. And I think, you know, Herbert and we're having, you know, questions about, you know, again, are we sure he's going to be the first overall? We're not, because we don't know what teams are looking for at this point. You know, somebody might not
Baker
want.
Baker Mayfield's, you know, proof of that.
And exactly, you know, we all thought it was going to be. Who was going to go first that year? Was it Trubisky last year?
Or no,
not that year.
Nobody
who was that was
that.
Who was supposed to go first overall? It was like, who the hell is that guy?
Hold on a second.
And then Baker Mayfield ended up sliding in and being the first quarterback taken, and then had a pretty good year. And everybody was like, oh, well, yeah, I guess he deserved the number one spot. Like, no, he didn't. But it's cool. And now if you're the Browns, you're starting to figure out that, man, he's a good quarterback, but he's probably not worth the first overall pick. And that's another thing about being the first overall pick. You're going to go to a crappy franchise. You know that. There's going to be some bumps to be taken. You're going to get sacked a lot, but you've got to try to figure that out.
Oh, yeah, dude. Okay, so it was Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen.
And then Rosen.
Rosen, who is 10th. And who else we got here? Yeah, that's kind of it.
Was it Lamar? Lamar Jackson was like 23 or something.
Yeah, he
like
was
that, right
at the end.
Yeah.
He was last right pick of the first round.
Yeah, so, I mean, so we'll see. But at this point, I don't think that Herbert's going to be the number one pick in my eyes. And unless he's not, it's probably going to be a defensive lineman or some type of offensive line. Okay, coming up next.
What to watch?
I have something I was talking to Will about. There's something I absolutely think you guys should watch, and we'll talk about that next on The Fan.
Which is the most exciting matchup in the field of competition? Which game will leave you kicking yourself if you miss it? Which channel should you switch to when the sporting day is gone? Welcome to America's most exciting sports talk radio show segment. It's time for What to Watch. Presented by Encore Audio Video. Now hear this. Whether you're looking for a new TV or a custom home theater, start at Encore's showroom at 14th and Everett in the Pearl. Now our expert panel, avid television viewer Will Darkins, and increasingly out-of-touch father of twin girls, Luke Anderson, are here to tell you what to watch. Literally, it's What to Watch on The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Also brought to you by Royal Exteriors, triple pane windows for up to 60% less than double pane. Royal Exteriors, LLC.com.
What to watch? Well, if you're asking me, there's a couple games that I absolutely want to see. Not that I'm a big fan of either, but it's just one of the rivalries that I absolutely have to watch. 4:30 p.m. Pacific time on NBC, USC at Notre Dame. This is always a big game. I'm always pulling for the Pac-12. And so, Notre Dame's is one of those teams that they just continue to be ranked, even though they're not great every year.
No.
They just continue to be one of those teams that people just, again, the brand Notre Dame is bigger than anything else. And I'm curious to see of how well USC can hold up against Notre, because a win for USC would mean a lot for the Pac-12 and has some implications for Oregon as we start talking about the college football playoff.
Well, now, speaking of implications for Oregon, there is something spicy going on right now in Athens. South Carolina is up 17-10 on Georgia at the start of the third. So if South Carolina can beat Georgia, then that kind of negates Notre Dame's loss to Georgia, which then throws Notre Dame into the conversation. And then if Auburn can somehow fix themselves into an SEC title game and beat Alabama and then beat Georgia, then you got yourself a mess.
Then all of a sudden, you know, things are all good. But this should be a really important game. So if you got an opportunity, pay attention to that game. Iowa is hosting Penn State. So, again, another game that's big implications. Like, whenever a team that's ranked higher than you is playing, you want them to take that L. Right now, Penn State is playing some really, really good football. Sean Clifford, not the guy that a lot of people would expect. He's not lighting the world on fire, but he's leading his team to a perfect 6-0 record so far. So 2-0 in the Big Ten. So we'll see exactly what happens from there. But the big game, Florida, LSU.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know about you, but I've been to an SEC football game. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you there's absolutely nothing like SEC football. Like, I mean, granted, yes, the conference, they sweat themselves and people, you know, fall in love with the SEC and it's boring and blah, 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 yakety schmackety. The end of the day, they party and they kick it like I've never seen before.
I can imagine.
The town, I used to date a girl that went to Tennessee. She played golf for the Volunteers and went down there for a Tennessee-Florida game when Eric Ainge was actually the Tennessee quarterback at that point. It's his freshman year. And the entire town shuts down. Like the McDonald's closed, gone to game. McDonald's is closed? Like, that's the way it went up there. So the energy that SEC football brings is amazing. So this game should be really, really good. Joe Burrow, arguably the best quarterback in the country. Yeah. There's some people that would really make the claim that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the country. And a lot of people don't think Florida should be where they are right now, but they're a perfect 6-0. And so this is going to be a great game this afternoon.
Well, I'm going to take it from two angles. One, I want to say that I am going to be watching the Beaver game intently until we start losing really badly, because it's going to happen. But I'm also excited just to see how the offense can fare against a incredibly quality level defense in Utah. So, of course, I'm going to be watching that one. But in the NFL, I am super excited to watch the Seahawks-Browns game. Now, the Seahawks have two offensive linemen that are going to be out well, I guess they're questionable at this point. But, it could turn into something where this becomes competitive. But if the Browns lose this game, it is going to turn into DEFCON 5 for this team.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning, like, they're going to have to reassess Baker Mayfield at quarterback. Freddie Kitchen's hot seat will become boiling. This is just going to start a trend that will get pretty depressing for a season that had such a good outlook to start with. Now, listen to the rest of these games they have on their schedule, right? You lose to Seattle. You tell me where you can find a couple quality wins, a couple of them. You got at Patriots, at Broncos. You go home for the Bills, who aren't nothing to laugh at. Steelers, who maybe you could get a win. And the next game you have that you could possibly get an easy win would be Miami. So you have four or five games after the Seattle one that are not going to be given to you.
Yeah.
You could end up with just two wins at the halfway mark.
No, that could be really bad. Everyone coming into the season really had high expectations for the Browns. The Browns are not supposed to be where they are right now. And shame on us for, they have made all the acquisitions. They got Odell Beckham Jr. You're thinking that's where the wolves in. And what do you know? They're back in the same spot. One of the NFL games I'm really interested in is the 49ers and the Rams. The Rams, losers of two in a row. Two games that they feel like they should have won. They lost the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers put it on them, and then they lost by a point to Seattle. San Francisco is currently undefeated. The only other undefeated team in the league outside of the Patriots, and they look like they're playing good football, and that defense is nasty. And so I'm curious to see if the Rams can respond, because if they lose three in a row, the next week they go to Atlanta and they have to play the Falcons, which should be a win for them. But hell, the Buccaneers should have been a win for them too. Mm. So we'll see how that works. So we'll see if they'll be able to right the ship right now, because the Rams are not playing the best football over the past couple of weeks.
What you going to watch outside of football? Any movies or anything?
I don't know if I'm going to see any movies. I'd like to go see The Joker again, or Joker. I went and saw Joker, and if you haven't seen it yet, get everything you know about Joker out of your head as far as all the other characters we've seen, Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson. Get all those guys out of your head. Joaquin Phoenix is brilliant in that movie, and you should absolutely go check it out for sure. Well, that's going to do it for us, man. Man, Will, thank you so much for inviting me, man. I had a good time, bro. So if you're ever up and want to do some stuff on Sundays, you already know you got a spot for us, on sports or football Sunday, man. We appreciate it. So please make sure you get at us on Twitter. He's at WillDarkins33. I'm at TaylorMade503. Man, thank you guys for rocking with us and interacting with us on the Better You Today text line. For Will Darkins, Rashad Taylor, peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.